You know what else is going on this weekend? Some of us are in super regionals around here.
I don't know
if you guys have ever been to that before.
Well, we've won three national championships.
You probably got to buy all the way to Omaha. Arkansas probably has never been there before. Oregon, though, we live and breathe super regionals year in and year out.
That's about it.
We said, you know, it's going to be a fun final weekend for us. At Colin1 on Twitter, Colin Wilson is our guest now. Good friend, Action Network. He has got, you can go find it on his Twitter account, the Super Regional Projections. It's his Super Regional cheat sheet. Colin, good morning to you. I do want to talk some college baseball with you because I'm very excited for the weekend. Let's start though with a hard-hitting question. Is Colin Wilson pro or anti roundabouts?
Well, first off, I'd like to appreciate you guys getting my blood pressure up by mentioning all the College World Series titles up there, because as a Razorback fan that was actually in the stadium in 2018, it still tastes really bad in my mouth. So I live in Northwest Arkansas, and believe it or not, they've adopted roundabouts everywhere. There's got to be 20 of them around here, and I'm sorry not to bag on my home here. These people in this state can't figure this roundabout crap out. I mean, they just cannot get it. Now, I mean, I've traveled all over the world. The worst place for roundabouts where I'll say no is the UK, because you have to drive on the left side of the road. You're sitting on the right side of the car, and the roundabout goes exactly the opposite.
Oh,
it goes
that's
clockwise
a good point.
Instead of counter. Yeah, so everywhere but the UK.
It's a Big Ben Parliament moment from European Vacation. Hey, kids, Big Ben and Parliament. They just keep going around and around in a circle. Yeah, there are too many people just don't understand how to do them. I don't know how we got on the debate, but that was our last segment.
Well, because I almost died yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. Yeah, somebody almost nailed
Jeff. A cyber truck was just going. He swerved into my lane with his cyber truck, and he had to swerve out of it at a roundabout. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
This isn't that complicated. Just put a speed bump in. We'll be okay. Well, Oregon is going to a super regional call. It's big news for us. It doesn't happen very often. I think the fourth one in program history. They've never been past that point. I'm just curious what you make of them. And as somebody who watches very little college baseball, I know that Texas is good. I know they're historically good. What do I need to know about the Longhorns going into this weekend's matchup?
They match Oregon's stats number for number and everything offensively, and mostly everything from a pitching perspective, except they're a little bit better in the pitching department. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the big problem. The bullpen from the two starters of Luke Harrison and then their big one, Dylan Volantis. That's the issue, is that they have FIP and ex-FIP and ERA numbers that are just a little bit lower and a little bit better than Oregon. And really what this comes down to is Oregon's got to win the Cal Sclari game, the first one that he comes out in. Now, I don't know if Texas is going to throw Luke Harrison or if they're going to throw their ace, Dylan Volantis. But whoever they throw, Oregon has to win the very first game out of the gate, or they're going to have some problems, some real problems with his bullpen. And then the second starter that comes out of there, you see Texas minus 220. And really, I'm just kind of wondering, like, which pitcher? Because if they throw Luke Harrison, Texas throws Luke Harrison, the game should be minus 160. Mm-hmm. And if they throw Dylan Volantis, it should be Texas minus 350. So it's almost like oddsmakers split the difference because they don't know who's going to start. So Cal Scolari's got to win this first game for the Ducks, or it's going to be a quick weekend. Mm.
I want to ask you about the Ducks, but I do also want to ask, like, the carnage we saw in the regional, the top two seeds falling. And I know there's been other years where it's been pretty remarkable, but for me as somebody that's, you know, I've been following since Oregon State kind of jumped into the fray a few years back, and I know you follow this stuff and you cover it really well, just where that ranked of craziest regionals you've seen in the college baseball postseason, of that many teams in the top 10 falling, and some of the teams that have advanced out of those regionals.
Well, I think the flip side, not only is it a little bit crazy about what's happened, and me trying to remember back to if we've ever had a crazy weekend, what I can recollect is that the number of four seeds that are winning regionals year after year is growing exponentially. Mm. Like, there was a time when a four seed couldn't even dream about winning a regional, much less winning a super regional. Last year we've got who? Murray State hanging around, catching a win in Omaha, giving UCLA some problems, like covering run lines in Omaha. This is a thing where these four seeds, these St. John's of the world, the Little Rocks, they're just not scared. And the Little Rock coaches come out and said before, like, listen, we have a bunch of guys of power four arms that just couldn't get any playing time. Like, their coaches slotted them on Tuesday, Wednesday games. We went out and said, hey, you'll be a Friday night, Saturday night starter. And I think this is just a big thing. Is like, there's two things going on in college baseball that people need to realize. One, the Sun Belt's getting a lot better because there's a lot of funds being dumped into NIL and into their and into their facilities and things of whatnot. And two, the transfer portal has evened the field out. If you think that there's a large gap in college football between the Big Ten and the SEC and, say, the American and Conference USA, that's true. But in college baseball, they are merging together quickly, and that's all because of the transfer portal.
Interesting stuff. Colin Wilson is our guest. Action Network. You can give him a follow on Twitter, at Colin_1, or excuse me, just Colin1 on Twitter. And he's got his super regional cheat sheet out that you can go look through and get some betting tips and some insight into some of the other matchups this weekend. Obviously, we got our eyes on Oregon, and you answered on the four seeds, which has been a fun storyline. What else is standing out to you now as we get one step closer to Omaha? What else do you have your eye on this weekend?
I think Mississippi, the winner of Mississippi State, Georgia, is the team that it should be odds-on favorite to win the whole thing. It's easy to say that. They're both pretty high up on the board. But Mississippi State is getting healthy in their rotation. Ryan McPherson was their ace, their Friday night starter. He came back about 2-3 weeks ago. He was on a pitch count. Now it's starting to get extended a little bit. He looks fantastic, and he's now their third starter. You're going to see Tomas Valencias go for them against Georgia. Mississippi State is growing leaps and bounds week by week, and I think it just hasn't been discussed because they lost so many SEC series, people kind of forgot about them, but there's a lot of injuries at play. And speaking of injuries in play, Alabama's another one of those teams where they've had their major stars in the lineup and major pitchers hurt most of the season. Now they're all coming back together. The problem with Alabama is that they give up too many hits and they don't play great defense. So I'm not going to go out and advocate that Alabama can win anything, because when your fielding percentage is like 250th in Division I and you're giving up a lot of contact, at some point you're going to get knocked out. That's just not sustainable to advance. But, you know, I think from an injury standpoint, Mississippi State is the team that is just as good as everybody else in this field and can absolutely win this whole thing. So don't sleep on Cowbell if they happen to make it through Georgia.
It wouldn't be a Colin Wilson interview segment if we didn't bring up college football, so I know we will be getting to that. But you mentioned the pitching for Texas. What does Oregon have that you like about their chances maybe to pull off the upset this weekend?
Oh, boy. I mean, I'm looking at their stat sheets right now, and I'm trying to find an advantage where Oregon has over Texas from all – I mean – Oregon's 164th in taking walks. That's not good. Texas is top 10 in taking walks. You know, I mean,
so
I'm
nothing.
Trying to find
it's okay to say
there.
Nothing, Colin. It's okay.
Well, I'll say this. Oregon is top 5 in the country in hits allowed per 9. So their staff is really good at avoiding contact and really good at not letting the ball get into play. And that's how they're going to have to beat this Texas lineup, is not let the ball get into play. And when you're top 5 in the nation, and by the way, this year I did something different. Did you guys notice during March Madness, like, people were throwing together it was like a stew of analytics where it's like, if your offensive rebounding is this and your this is this and this is this, then right. You can make the Final Four. Well, I did this for college baseball, and I found out that, like, strikeout to walk ratio, strikeout per 9 ratio, hits allowed per 9, these are all traits of teams that make it to the championship round going back 15 years. And one of those is hits allowed per 9, and Oregon is 4th in the country. So if they've got something to stand on, they can keep the Texas bats from putting the ball in play, and that's how they beat them.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I'm curious to ask you, when you look at, you know, college baseball at times can be a rough product to watch if you get guys who can't throw strikes out of the bullpen, right? Like, Oregon won their regional game against Oregon. Oregon State just essentially walked like 10 straight guys and they scored 3 runs. It was like, okay, I guess we got the lead now. So that can happen from time to time. One of the things that I love most about the sport, though, that I think it makes it most appealing is the amount of S-talk in college baseball is inspiring, and I love it. And the pitchers who are, like, just doing crotch chops and flipping people off, the batters who are pimping home runs, what do you make of these umpires who are saying, let me be the star of the show? There was a kid in the Georgia regional who got tossed, who hit that bomb, give him like a 2-1 lead or whatever it was, kind of making themselves the central character, because I tend to think that the personality and the flair of college baseball is what makes it as entertaining as it possibly could be.
Well, it's the fans too, right?
Yes.
Like, I mean, Texas fans are famous for drinking beer out of their shoes during the middle of games, right? I mean, it's everything. As far as, I mean, these are still college kids, even though they're paid. I mean, they're still college kids, and they're going to do things that you might only see out of the Dominican Republic team out of the World Baseball Classic, you know? Like, you don't see that in Major League Baseball. You don't see a lot of partying. You don't see a lot of showing up pitchers. As far as the umpires go, like, I think they know their time is limited. The SEC tournament, for those that don't know, the SEC tournament actually used the ABS system for balls and strikes, what MLB is doing. And, you know, a lot of the SEC coaches came out and said, if they're doing it as a trial run of the SEC tournament, that means all of college baseball is going to have this next year. So,
wow. You
know, umpires are being minimized, and I think they know it. And, you know, they're I don't know how I feel about the AB system. I think it's great that a true ball is called a ball and a true strike is called a strike. But to see dugouts just come unglued and call for challenges and challenge umpires, like, you only get one or two challenges. You don't want to make these umpires mad. So it's the theatrics of college sports will never end. That is the one ingredient that has been around generations before I ever hit this earth, is that college sports, there's way more passion. And I love that I'm from Arkansas and I come on the show to list a bunch of people from Oregon where we don't have pro sports,
right?
When you have college sports, it just feels so much more passionate than what you get in pro sports.
Yeah.
And we've grown to love it a lot out here, obviously, in both baseball and football. Are you in favor of the 24-team playoff? Do you like the idea? I have the opinion of, like, I'm not a big fan of it, but I think it's going to happen. And I'm still going to watch all of the regular season games, and now these Pop-Tart Bowls are going to have some meaning because they'll be playoff games. Where are you at on it?
Yeah, I mean, anything that gets Arkansas closer to a playoff game, I guess, is good.
Amen,
right?
Brother. Yes.
Look. Do we need 24 teams to turn a national title? No. Did we need more than four? No. I mean, we know. I mean, when you have point spreads that are 17 to 21 points in playoff games, and then these teams are playing at home, then you've got, first off, the discrepancy in talent of these blue blood teams versus everybody else that's making the playoff is not a sustainable model. And the thing is, the FCS has that 2014 playoff, and it's perfect. You play home games through all the rounds until you get to the championship. Not even the semifinals are played on home turf. So I think we're moving towards that. They just can't figure out the money. I think the problem is the discrepancy on the field is just outrageous. Like Oregon playing JMU. I mean, JMU covered in a circus type game where we've got 70 something points. I mean, does anybody really think James Madison can win the national title? No. I mean, and what's Oregon risking? Like chances of getting hurt for the next round? Like the discrepancy in talent is so large. I'm not in favor from the fact that we don't need 24 teams to figure out a national title, but at the same time, the FCS model works perfectly. So I'm kind of back and forth on it. But we don't need more than four teams to figure out who's best in the country.
I tend to agree with you there. I'm curious, as you look ahead to college football, you know, our minds are always there, and you're always looking at stuff and lines and over-unders. Is there anything that's piquing your interest this time of year when you're looking at – I think we even have some week zero and week one lines out on games. We talked about those on the show last week, and they came out looking at certain matchups and what the point spread might be. It's always hard early in the year. Anything piquing your interest from a college football aspect right now?
Well, I've already made a couple of large bets on Alabama under 8.5 and Alabama under 9. I think
under 9. Wow.
I know that's pretty. There's not a lot. That's not a favorable opinion. I would tell you that a lot of people are just like, "Are you crazy? When's the last time Alabama only won, you know, 8 games?" And my retort to that is, they don't have a quarterback. They lost almost all of their defense. They have no running back. They have no running game whatsoever. If you can't establish the run and you're letting Keelon Russell get back there and he's never thrown a pass, I don't understand how Alabama is in trouble. The schedule is crazy. Yeah. Their NIL is lower than everybody else in the SEC. Well, not lower than Arkansas, but almost as low as everybody else in the top half of the SEC. So Alabama under was one of the first things that I hit out of the gate when they started posting up. I think the other thing, too, which is more specific, I did a little research on the Big Ten, you know, because I knew I was coming on and talk with you guys about it. But this layer at the top is just insane, and I think – Oregon fans should go into this season feeling like they kind of got screwed. And I'll tell you why. Like, I've got Ohio State, Indiana, Penn State, and Oregon all finishing within 0.2 wins of each other from a conference perspective, right? I've got them between 8.2 and 8 wins in the conference. But the difference is Penn State plays the biggest cupcake schedule I've ever seen in my life. I didn't even know someone could even accumulate this schedule.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at Oregon, and we're like, you know, a touchdown dog or less against Ohio State on November 7th, and we're turning around and hosting Michigan, right? And then, there's the schedule for Oregon is not nearly as nice as Penn State, and they just did not, or the Ducks did not draw a good schedule whatsoever from whoever it is in the Big Ten that makes this. But that's something to say. I think Penn State's going to be great, by the way. I am that is not a popular opinion because there's a lot of people that don't like Matt Campbell. But And think about it logistically. Or think about it like, what is the offense he likes to run? 12 and 13 personnel. He has always had multiple 6'7", 280-pound tight ends just blowing people away at the line of scrimmage and catching balls over the middle. Now he's going to a university that recruits the best tight ends in the nation. You give Matt Campbell the weapons that Penn State's been able to bring in at tight end, and you give him this soft schedule. I mean, I think Penn State's a real contender only because they don't play anybody this year.
Yeah. We love to get you on around this time of the year. One, because you help us with college baseball. Two, we get to talk all of this college football. And three, you're a band and solstice guy. I'm curious, are we doing the summer solstice band and round this year?
In 3 weeks, yeah, I've got it set up. I'm actually going to hit shorties for the first time. I'm getting up to the age. Like, I don't want to disclose my age, but I thought it was really cool that I could walk 36 holes in a day, do a little Pacific Dunes, do a little Band of Dunes, take the trolley in between, and go have some steak dinner. And I'm just getting up to the age where it's like 36 holes with the slope ratings that Pacific has and all that. Like, I'm kind of like begging to go to Sheep, you know, because Sheep Ranch is just so easy and flat. Like,
much flatter.
It's wide open. Yeah. You can miss fairways all day and not suffer. So, yeah, I Bandon is my favorite place in the world.
All right.
I love it, man. That's going to be awesome.
I'm 39. Dirt, how old are you?
37.
Okay, Swag is 63 years old.
74, some
Come
people
on, Colin.
Say.
This is the trust tree.
If you guys have played there, these caddies are like, I mean, they're older than I am, and they're out there with their rubbing, their salts and their creams and their, they're carrying bags for like, you know, 15 hours a day and I'm complaining. So I have nothing to talk about.
Well, how many pairs of socks, how many pairs of shoes are we taking?
Always two pairs of shoes, always at least two pairs of socks per day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got to lighten up your bag or else they'll make you take things out of it. So don't bring too many balls.
Yeah.
But you know, really the key to all of it is to stay hydrated. Don't have your beers and your mixed drinks till afterwards. And then breakfast. Do not have a large breakfast because somewhere around hole seven, you're going to need to take a break somewhere in the bushes.
Well, and we may have asked you this before. What is your best round during the solstice playing that you've ever had?
Oh my gosh. I shot, I think, one of the best of my life, about an 83, on trails during the solstice. And trails is, and I think the thing is, for everybody out there listening, when you think of Band of Dunes, you think of like coastal golf, like right, I'm up against the wind, Pacific, band and all that. But trails is so much like Arkansas because it's tree lined and I don't have to worry about the wind as much. It's more of target golf, you know, it sits within the tree line and that is so much closer to home. And is by far my best course out there.
Talk about hills, though. Trails has got some serious hills.
It can get hilly, man. It's a fun change of pace, dude. We're going to live vicariously through you. Exciting times ahead. Starting with Super Regionals, go give him a follow on Twitter, @Colin1, Action Network, and he's got his Super Regional cheat sheet that you can go find on his Twitter account. Just sent it out again about an hour ago if you want a little preview of all the action this weekend. Colin, man, we always appreciate the time. Love the hot takes in college football. Best of luck in the bets this weekend, and have fun out at Bandon, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Talk to you soon.